What is the one thing? That is, what is the better part that our Lord Jesus speaks about in the gospel this morning? The saints are unanimous. It's the love of God. The most important quality of holiness, of becoming a saint, is to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. The great doctor of the church, St. Alphonsus Liguori, said in his own time, and how much more could it be said in ours, that most people love their pets more than they love God. How sad this is when we look at the attachments in our life and the priorities that we give. If we were to look at our calendars and our day-to-day activities, would others see men and women marked with a profound love for the Lord? Because the Lord loves us with such tender, strong love. Last week, we heard from the Gospel of St. Luke the parable of the Good Samaritan, which focused on love of neighbor. And our Gospel today follows immediately on its heels with a lesson on love for God. This past week, I had the great joy of being in LA with my family and with 110 Carmelite nuns, where my cousin, Sister Jacinta of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, made her first temporary vows as she was espoused to Jesus Christ. Together with the three other sisters, they made vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. The evangelical counsels, which the world so despises. And yet, there was a joy in these women unrivaled to any joy I'd have ever seen. The joy was so palpable in these Carmelite sisters, all 110 of them, that even my atheist cousin remarked that his faith was being stirred again. So I asked myself, how could it be that these women, who have given up so much, could be so full of joy? I believe the answer lies in the fact that they discovered what St. Mary Magdalene discovered in our gospel today. The joy of sitting at the feet of our Master, the Lord Jesus. Mary Magdalene, of course, the sinful woman in Luke chapter 7, was exorcised from 7 demons by the Lord Jesus. You could imagine the gratitude she had to the Lord after having been set free. So it's no surprise that we find her at the feet of Jesus, taking in his heavenly teaching. She knew Christ's love very personally and dedicated her entire life to responding with her whole heart to the Lord's love for her. Discipleship for us today is born through prayer, through deep prayer on a daily, steady basis. Not the prayer that's simply throwing up that request to heaven when we have an emergency, as if God were simply a divine butler to wait on our needs, but the type of prayer that is contemplative. Contemplative prayer is simply learning to waste time in the presence of our divine friend, Christ Jesus. The way that two young lovers simply only want to be together. It doesn't matter what the young lovers are doing so long as they are doing it together. This is the essence of contemplative prayer. which St. Mary Magdalene models for us as she sits at the feet of our Lord Jesus. How do you and I today, in 2019, imitate this holy woman? Well, we have the great privilege of having Eucharistic adoration. There, Christ himself is truly and substantially present in the sacred host, and we can sit at his feet and absorb his loving presence. I always say that adoration is best spent by bringing in your Bible with you so that you can engage both your sight as you look upon the Eucharistic face of Christ and listen to his word when you open the ears of your hearts to be instructed through the word of God. In the gospel, Jesus is trying to show us that we will not save the world by developing new programs, but through prayer, through a deep union with him. Everything is about Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters. Everything in the church is about him and him alone. A great way to know whether you should trust somebody working in an apostolate for the church is how much do they talk about Jesus? You'll be surprised. Sometimes you'll find that people almost never speak even his name. How sad that is, because everything is about him. Our Lord himself says in the Gospel of St. John that if we wish to bear spiritual fruit through the apostolate, that we have to be united to him as a vine is grafted into a branch. In fact, he goes so far to teach that apart from me, you can do nothing. You can bear no true spiritual and lasting fruit. Sure, you may see temporary success, but the spiritual results that endure can only come through grace, through a life of deep friendship and union with Jesus Christ. Holiness is the work of God and him alone. These Carmelite sisters have been transformed because they have spent hours, I mean hours, in deep prayer before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. The way I thought about it on my drive back was they probably have spent more time in prayer than most of us have in front of the television. Could you imagine our lives if we spent as much time before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament as so many spend before their iPads or their computer screens or iPhones? What a transfigured life you would live, like these holy sisters. And as they were making their vows, I had the great joy of having one simple role as I was emceeing the liturgy. The sisters had handwritten in cursive their vows to the Lord, and they went up to Mother General, who is the superior of the order, and knelt down, and they prayerfully read their vows where they gave themselves to Jesus. After they had prayed their vows, Mother simply handed them to me, and when they had all made their promises, I went and I placed their vows on the altar. To almost anybody in the congregation that day, nobody would have noticed what I did. It was small, inconspicuous. But as I was doing it, the Lord gave me a profound insight and the gift of understanding that these sisters were making a total gift of themselves to the Lord, and that gift was being placed upon his altar. And how does the Lord respond to such a gift? But by making a total gift, making a complete gift of himself in the Holy Eucharist at the Mass. Whenever we give ourselves to the Lord, He always outdoes the giving. All of us can fall into the temptation of being like Martha, filled with anxiety and running around. Running around thinking that we're doing a lot of good, and oftentimes we are, but also thinking that we're saving the world, and that part is not true, because salvation comes from only one name under heaven, the name to which everyone in heaven and on earth and under the earth bend their knee, Jesus Christ. Our Lord invites us not to lose sight today of the most important thing, the better part, to be loved by Him and in prayer to love Him in return. I challenge all of you to take up the commitment to a daily time of prayer. At least the holy 15 minutes, to incorporate the reading of Scripture and Lectio Divina into your prayer. Because prayer is incomplete if it's simply a monologue of me talking to God. Like all relations, it must be a sacred dialogue, a conversation. And so Scripture assists us in hearing God speak. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that the Rosary should be a daily part of that prayer. As I've said so many times, Our Lady has asked us, her children, to pray the Rosary every day for world peace and for the conversion of sinners. And in the last month alone, I have witnessed as a priest so many miracles of people coming to me because they pray Our Lady's Rosary. So I encourage you, pick up a daily life of prayer. Jesus wants you to be a contemplative. In the world, yes. The life of contemplation is not simply for Carmelite nuns. Yeah, they're light years ahead of us. But still, God wants to ravish our hearts in prayer and to bestow blessings that are beyond our wildest imaginations. I can't even fathom what God desires to give us if we only open our hearts. My Jesuit spiritual director in seminary said, "We all come like beggars before the Lord with our begging bowls." And it pleases God. Jesus would say to you today, all He desires is your companionship. "I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say." Just be there. Just be with Him. It brings His Sacred Heart so much joy when we choose to spend time at His feet. Of course, from this life of prayer must flow a life of service. But it must come in that order. Prayer and then service, then the apostolate, if we wish to bear fruit for the gospel. In Acts chapter 16, we see a perfect example of this in the woman Lydia. As St. Paul comes to her town, we're told in Acts chapter 16 that she first listened to him preach the gospel, and then she offered hospitality and opened her home to the apostle. That hospitality, that service for the mission of the gospel, flows from an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and through faith, the faith by which we are saved. King David prayed in Psalm 27:4, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Praise be Jesus Christ.